Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live on this Thursday morning. I pray you're having a good morning. And if you're not so far, well, that is what we are here to help you do by opening up the Word of God together and seeing what He would say to us and encourage us. And man, I have found that there's no better way to start your day off than in the Word of God together. So welcome to Good Morning Live. And if you are on a platform that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, please do all that you can do. Helps us take this program, send it to the algorithms, let it do its thing. And we call that being a digital missionary, is by helping us send the message of the gospel even further. And you can do that with a click of a button. So thank you in advance for doing that. I also want to remind you that, you know, we always take it as an honor to stand and pray with you. So if you have a prayer request, something happening in your life that you say, hey, I could really use some prayer right now, don't hesitate. Text the word prayer to 717-500-3575. And our team would be more than honored to pray with you. We really believe that it's an honor to lift up somebody's prayer request, you know, to the Lord on their behalf. So of course, go ahead and do that, and we would be honored to stand with you. Again, prayer to 717-500-3575. Well, this week we've started out in a series at looking at the Lord's Prayer, and I have loved this, and I know I've heard from so many of you that it's been blessing your life, re-looking at the Lord's Prayer in a different way. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I've been saved since I was 8 years old, and many times you hear the Lord's Prayer, and it is just so common and so used in maybe different religious environments that it's like I just kind of tune out when I hear the Lord's Prayer. It almost has become like that old Footprints in the Sand poem. It's like, yep, we all know the footprints in the sand. Yep, you turned around. You know, it's just like, and I'm not saying that it's not a good poem, but I'm just saying is, when you've grown up hearing it, and in many ways that's what the Lord's Prayer has been. But we've been diving back in this week to it and discovering some foundational truths that Jesus brought in this prayer. And our challenge this week is to memorize the Lord's Prayer, is to pray it three times a day, memorize it, put it on a piece of paper, make it your screensaver, do whatever it is that you can do to really get this prayer down in your heart. We started on Tuesday looking at just Jesus's opening line of our Father in heaven and how revolutionary that was in its day, that he, you know, they would you know, viewed God as so holy, and of course he is, but that they wouldn't even put his name on a piece of paper. Because it was just to write down his name. And here comes Jesus breaking through and saying, listen, when you pray, say my Father, which is literally translated Abba or Daddy. And Jesus took what was prayers to an unknown mystical God and said, no, he's your Father. And he broke through that mold and that barrier and made it personal to us, and of course taught us to pray that his will would be done, God's will would be done, not ours. That's the most powerful thing that we could pray, is that it would not be our will, but his being done. Yesterday we looked at, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and how God has substance for us every single day, and we can't live off of yesterday's words or yesterday's revelation or yesterday's teachings, but we got to keep our relationship with God fresh. He has new, fresh bread, but it takes some effort to make bread, right? But when we're willing to dive into his word, when we're willing to spend that time with him, then every day he provides fresh manna for us. So let's read through the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll hop into today's teaching. And here's where we're finding it, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Come on, I hope you are memorizing that. Now, this was from the New King James Version. You might be reading it or memorizing it from a different version. I know when I first started reading it, you know, I'm used to having that King James, our Father who art in heaven. And so whatever version you're memorizing it from is completely fine. So today, obviously, we bring ourselves to these most powerful lines of this prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we're going to hop into today. But again, I want to encourage you, be praying this. Pray three times a day. And I want to remind you that prayer is not an emergency line. It's our lifeline. I believe that many people don't pray because they don't feel like it's urgent. But prayer should be our first resort, not our last. And that's why when Jesus broke through and said, listen, we pray to the Father, what he was saying is this is a father-child relationship. God enjoys FaceTime with his children. Right? He enjoys the conversation. He enjoys talking to us. He enjoys when you just talk to him about your day. And it's not that he doesn't know about your day. You know, my kids, you know, especially yesterday being their first day of school, it was like a fight when I got home for each of them to tell me how their day went. And one was screaming because they're trying to tell me, and the other one's trying to, I said, stop. I want to hear about all of your days, but we got to handle this one at a time. Right. And it's like, that's how God, like he wants us to say, you know, God, today's rough. Today's been great. You know, he just wants to pour our hearts out. Again, it doesn't need to be religious. It doesn't need to be wordy. It's just God, you know, today was a rough one. And thanks for helping me get through it. Help me to make these right decisions, you know, whatever, just talk to him. And so this brings us to where we are today. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Debts is an interesting choice of words that Jesus uses here. And it really means sins or transgressions or trespasses. And I want to pull out that word trespass a little bit because I think that's what a sin is. It's a trespass because trespass means crossing a boundary that you shouldn't. Crossing a boundary that you shouldn't. Behind our house, they are filling in some, there's kind of a big valley that goes back there, and they've been taking a bunch of fill and filling it in and trying to reframe the farmland back there a little bit. And we keep seeing people going back the lane that leads back there, and somebody had broken one of the windows to the tractors that are parked. So I went out and got a bunch of no trespassing signs, private property. Why? Because once I list, right, that this is a trespass, you move beyond this boundary, now you have trespassed. And that's what Jesus calls sin. It's a boundary line that says, don't cross this line. Now, I always like to remind people when I'm talking about sin, it's because people hear the word sin and they think, oh God, he's just trying to keep me from something. He's trying to, you know, let me have fun, not live my life, not enjoy my life. You know, that's all, you know, when we talk about sin, we hate to hear the word sin. Really, we should love to hear the word sin. Why? Because sin, and I've said this before, but sin is God looking into your future and saying that thing will harm you. Like, that's why they put trespassing signs up. Like, this isn't a safe place. Don't come here. This has the power to harm you. So I'm going to put some boundaries up to keep you out because I want to keep you safe. And so when God lists something as a sin, as a do not, like the Ten Commandments, it's not God saying, well, you know, listen, I'm trying to limit your fun. Y'all can't have too much fun down there, right? No, it's God saying, I am God. I have the ability. I've always been and I will always will be There's nothing new under the sun. And I'm telling you that when you covet, that when you lie, when you cheat, when you steal, you know, when you do whatever the sin is that it all leads to death. It all leads to destruction in your life. And because I love you, I cannot allow you, but you can make the choice to still do it. But I don't want you to walk into a dangerous area. I don't want you to be in a relationship that's not what scripture says that you should be in. Why? Because it might be appealing now and it might seem cool now, but the end result is heartache and pain and destruction. So when we talk about sin, man, we should love the word sin. We should love that word. Why? Because it's a reminder of God saying, hey, listen, warning, this thing will harm you. Or I was going to say haunt, but yeah, that's probably true. This thing has the ability to haunt you for years to come. And because I love you, I got to warn you, right? So when we talk about debts, it's our sins, our transgressions, our trespasses. When God has set up those do not enter, do not trespass, do not come beyond this, do not go there, don't say this, don't do this. It's literally him saying, that's the fine for sin is it will bring some type of death. And you might say, well, am I going to fall over dead if I say that? No, but something, you know, some sin does lead to physical death, but it will lead to something spiritually dying in your life. Actually, we were all born spiritually dead, and then we get saved. And if we continue in that sin, it leads us back to that spiritual debt. So this prayer is forgive us our debts. And I believe that is the four most powerful words you can pray. Why? Because the penalty for sin, like if somebody crosses the no trespass sign, there's a penalty. There's a fine. I can call the police and say, listen, they're on my property. They're trespassing. Like if you've been watching the news, there was that attorney general or assistant attorney general who was just arrested the other day. Her and her friend were at a restaurant and they probably had too much to drink or something like that. And the restaurant wanted them to leave for whatever reason and they refused. So they called the police. And she kept saying, "When I'm an AG, an attorney general, you can't do this." And guess what? They arrested her for trespassing. Why? Because the owner of the property said, "We don't want you here. You disobeyed, you've trespassed." There's a penalty for that. And Jesus says the penalty for trespassing is death. Now, I want to just clarify this because often we have this mentality that God is sitting at heaven and he's like going like this and watching down and waiting for us to trespass, waiting for us to go beyond the boundaries, waiting for us to sin. And then he just comes thundering down with his judgment. Not the case. We know that the full wrath of God was poured out on Jesus on the cross. When we go beyond the boundaries, like you remember, I think the best way and I should have pulled this video clip, but you remember in The Lion King where Simba's dad takes him out and he says, this, anywhere the light touches, belongs to you. It's yours. It's your kingdom. It's your domain. And of course, Simba was like, well, what about over there in the shadows? And his dad said, well, we don't go there. That's not your domain. And of course, what was the first thing that Simba did is he went and trespassed. He went beyond the boundaries, right? And it, of course, it brought destruction. I know it's a cartoon, but I think it works. So when we trespass, when we go beyond our boundaries, when we go beyond our borders of what scripture and what Jesus says will produce a right life, a godly life, a happy life, a fulfilling life. God knows he created us. He knows what is fulfilling. He knows what will make us happy. He knows what will satisfy us. He knows, so he's put these borders up. So when we go beyond that, we have a penalty. We have a payment. But it's not God looking down going, all right, you want past this? Destruction. Like when Simba went into there, what was there? The hyenas, right? He walked into their camp. And when we walk outside of the boundaries and the borders that God has placed in our life, It's not that God's going, I'm gonna mess you up for this one. Because no, we've walked out from under his protection and we've walked into the enemy's camp, if you will, where there's hyenas and where there's demons and devils and all kind of stuff, because we chose to go beyond the borders. So it's not that God's saying, well, I'm going to get you for this. It's that we've literally removed ourselves from the dominion and protection of God, because he has said, in my boundaries, in my borders, is where you will find life, is where you will find happiness, is where you will find peace, is where you will find joy, is where you will be safe and protected. So when we have crossed those borders, and we've all done it, the most powerful words that we can pray is, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. I really quickly today want to give you the difference between judicial and relational forgiveness, because I mentioned that Jesus paid for our sins at the cross. So, all right, well, why am I asking God for forgiveness if Jesus paid for my sins at the cross? Well, listen, Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespass, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So let me clarify what judicial forgiveness is. At salvation, we received judicial forgiveness, which means at salvation, all past, all present, and all future sins were forgiven. Well, you might say, well, that's how could God forgive future sins? Well, for you and I, they were all future sins. For those standing at the cross, he could forgive past and present, right, and future. But for us, they were all future sins. So, of course, that's possible, right? But there's something called a relational forgiveness, right? So he forgave us our sins, so therefore we don't have to sin. But now when he's forgiven us and we still cross the boundaries and the borders, now we need relational forgiveness from God, where God restores fellowship when his children fall short. Because though we have judicial forgiveness, God's still a holy God. He's still a righteous God. And often we can grieve him and we can hurt him and we can, you know, go against his word and we fall short. And now we need relational forgiveness. The difference is you can walk into a courtroom and a judge or a jury say, you are forgiven. The debt has been paid. But if you not have not gone to that offending person, you have judicial forgiveness. The courts have said you're forgiven. But it's a whole different thing to walk out of that courtroom and look at the person you've offended and say, but will you forgive me? You see that? So the cross brought judicial forgiveness, repentance applies that forgiveness and brings relational forgiveness that we so much need. If you look at just John 13, Jesus washing feet, and Jesus said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. See, in biblical times, feet would get dirty even obviously after a full bath. They were walking in dust and dirt. And likewise, our walk needs daily cleansing, that relational forgiveness, the washing of our feet before God. The cross has redeemed us. The cross has called us righteous. The cross has made us right standing. We did a whole series on that, right standing in the eyes of God now. But I may do something today that I need relational forgiveness restored back to Jesus. So confession brings cleansing. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let me be clear about this. Confession is not re-salvation, right? Like sometimes as a pastor, you do an altar call and you see the same people sometimes for salvation receive it over and over and over again. And sometimes you're just like, well, I don't, they're obviously not understanding that when you have sinned, you don't need to be re-saved. You just need to repent, right? You are saved. Judicially, you are saved, but there's a gap in your relationship. You've made some wrong choices. So now you need to repent and not be re-saved, right? Why? Because hidden sin always grows stronger. Pride and shame thrive in the dark. That's why David would write in the psalm, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Because what is he saying? He's saying, listen, I want to open my heart so that God would search me and expose and wash my feet and cleanse me so that I don't become captive to my old sin nature again, that I don't have unrepented sin that has broken my relationship with God, that relational aspect, that there's nothing hidden from him, that he knows me and I walk clean before him. So the first part of that prayer is, Father, forgive me my debts. Forgive me my trespasses. I believe those are the most powerful four words that you can pray. Forgive me my debts. Forgive me. But Jesus doesn't stop there in his prayer. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus tied our forgiveness to how we forgive others. Unforgiveness, listen, we need to know this in the church today. Unforgiveness blocks God's flow of cleansing. Unforgiveness is dangerous in the life of a believer. It asks God, if we are unforgiving, it asks God to not forgive us if we are holding grudges against other people. It keeps our spiritual feet dirty, if you will. Unforgiveness is like having spiritual amnesia. Why? Because it's forgetting the debt that God forgave us. It's rooted in selfishness. We demand justice for others, but grace for ourselves. I've often used this illustration when I preach this, is it's like, you know, when you see somebody else being pulled over for speeding on the side of the road, what do we say? Well, slow down. But when we see the lights behind us, what do we say? Oh, Jesus, please have mercy. Jesus, please. What? Why? Because in ourselves, we want mercy and grace for us, but we don't want it extended for other people. When was the last time you pulled over somebody who got, you know, passed by somebody who got pulled over and you said, Father, extend grace to them, or let them experience favor today. Let them get off with a warning, right? C.S. Lewis said, we accept our excuses far too easily and others not easily enough. Come on, we can justify why we made the decision, why we did it, the inner wounds that we had that caused us to seek that thing out and to go there again. But when somebody else presents their case to us, what do we say? Poor excuse. You should have known better, right? So we accept our excuses far too easily. So Jesus said, listen, my ability to forgive you is directly tied to your ability to forgive someone else. Unforgiveness will bring so much damage and destruction to the life of a believer. When it's hard, I get that it's hard, but there's freedom in forgiving others. Why? Because forgiveness feels like defeat. It feels like we've let somebody else off the hook. Feels like we made it easy for them. Feels like we gave them mercy when we wanted them to have judgment. But even though it feels like defeat, forgiveness is actually our victory. Whenever we hold grudges, we rehearse hurt. What we're actually doing is we are giving that offending person power. But when a forgiving spirit is in you, enemies lose control over you. Even if the relationship can't be restored, your soul can be restored. Actually, scientific studies, listen to this, have shown that those who forgive, who have a forgiving spirit, a forgiving nature, they don't hold grudges, they just let stuff roll off of them. Science has proven that they live longer, they need less medication, and enjoy overall better health. Let me say that to you again. Those who forgive live longer, need less medication, and enjoy overall better health. Come on, that's your Bible, that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. We want financial blessings and we want to walk in divine healing, but Jesus said it is all directly tied to the prosperity of your soul. And your soul is not prospering if you have unforgiveness in your life. Your soul is sick and it is in sin and it is damaged and it's covered in darkness when you are holding a grudge and you are unwilling to forgive another person. And then no wonder that we aren't prospering in our finance, that we're not prospering in our health. Why? Because our soul is sick. Jesus said, my ability to forgive you is directly tied to your ability to forgive others. Actually, Jesus said, if you are unwilling to forgive others, then I cannot forgive you. So we're walking around with all this mess, wondering why life's not working out for us. And because Jesus is saying, because I can't forgive you of your debts until you forgive others their debts. That's powerful. What harm is happening in your life? What destruction seems to be all around you? Because you're holding on to what God said to let go of. Is your soul today clouded? Is it unclear? Is it sick? Because you have allowed an offense from another person to creep into your life and damage your soul. What sins relationally, and I know judicially we've talked about being forgiven at the cross, but relationally, sometimes you're like, well, I don't feel like I can hear God, or it feels like heavens are closed. Well, could it be that because relationally, he cannot forgive you until you forgive other people? Literally, your life depends. Your life depends on how you forgive people. There's one thing you're going to get, you need to get in this Christian life. It is, how can I forgive those who have hurt me? How can I forgive those who have hurt those that I love? Father, forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. I don't pretend at all to say, well, I'm just going to say these few little words to you and it's going to fix your whole life and now you're just going to be able to forgive everybody. Listen, I understand that forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. You know my story. I grew up with a very abusive stepfather, an MIA natural father. I know about learning to walk in forgiveness. And, you know, my natural father and my stepfather have gone home to be with the Lord already. But I can't say there are some days where I still have to, when I have a memory or a thought where I can feel that anger rise back up. And I have to remind myself, even though they're dead and gone, I forgive them. I forgive them. I remember the date. I remember the time. I forgive them. That's why whenever I'm trying to teach this or lead somebody through forgiveness, I often tell them, in the front of your Bible or on a piece of paper or on the notes in your phone, whatever, write the date that you are sitting before God and saying, I choose to forgive that person. Why? Because those feelings are going to come back of anger and bitterness, and you're going to have a memory, or you're going to have a thought, or somebody's going to say something, and suddenly all of those feelings are going to come back up. But what you can do is you can go back and say, no, August 21st, 2025, I laid that person at the foot of the cross. I laid them at the feet of Jesus, and I made a decision to forgive them. So regardless of how I feel, I will not speak evil of them. I will bless them as much as I can in my words and my thinking. And again, if the relationship can't be restored, my soul can be restored. I cannot speak evil or ill of them. I forgive them for their trespasses against me. I did it right here on this date. So now, though a feeling might come, because people think because I still feel something, well, I haven't forgiven them. The feeling isn't the sin. It's the action that you put on. So if I feel something and I begin to speak negatively of that person, I'm not walking in forgiveness. You understand? So if I feel something, I just come back and say, nope, I laid that at the cross on this date. I made the decision. I have forgiven them and I have moved on. And then as we forgive, God can forgive us. So I don't pretend to, you know, sit here and in a Good Morning Live and say, well, now forgive everybody. I understand it's a process. I understand that sometimes that's coming to the feet of Jesus and pouring out your heart. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt, a lot of bitterness. What I'm saying is if we do not forgive others, it limits Christ's ability to forgive us our trespasses. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. You cannot walk in unforgiveness. You cannot walk in bitterness. You cannot walk in that. You cannot do it and claim to be a Christian. You can't follow Jesus and follow your own flesh. It's just impossible. So I know this is a heavier word today, but this is what's in the Lord's Prayer. It's not just words mumbled out of religious exercise. It is a plea to the God of heaven to forgive us where we have trespassed him, where we have debts to him, as we actively pursue forgiveness to those in our world who have hurt us. Let me pray for you today. Father, we thank you that as Jesus prayed this prayer as a roadmap, as a guide, that he would remind us through this prayer that you will, above all things, that we would prosper and be in health, but in correlation with our soul prospering. And Father, in this prayer, you've reminded us that our souls can't prosper until we forgive those who have hurt us. So would you help us today, Father? Forgive those who have trespassed against us. Would you help us release that hurt and that pain, that bitterness? Would you let other people off the hook as you have let us off the hook? Would you help us today, just as when we sin, the Bible says that Satan would be the accuser of the brethren. When we sin, Satan goes before you and says, look what they've done. You look, point back to the cross and you say, no. They were forgiven right here on this date. Would you help us today make that decision for other people? That when those feelings come and those memories flood our minds, that we would be able to point back to this date and say, no, they were forgiven right here on this date. We've released them, we've let them go, and we walk whole before our God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I pray that today started you maybe on this journey of walking in forgiveness, having your soul healed and healthy and whole, forgiving so that Christ can forgive you. Pray today, this afternoon, as you continue to pray through. And listen, if you live in this world, that's why he put this in as a daily prayer, because before noon, you're going to need to forgive somebody. Three times a day. That's why it's good to pray this prayer, because you're going to need to forgive someone. So, Father, we ask that would be our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, thank you for being with me today. I hope that this started you on a journey of this praying this and forgiving other people and making that a daily habit to just release those things that flood into our lives like they do. And I pray that you'll be back with me tomorrow as we continue and finish out the Lord's Prayer. All right. Well, thank you for being with me today. Remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.